Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, Monday, we gon' walk it out. All day, and
well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what time it is? It's time to get up, rise up, and let's get on with the day, because this is the day that creates an opportunity for us to be a better version of ourselves. And those of you who are going through some type of a grief and loss, this was open mic day, and it still is. And I have, it looks like, a handful of questions that we're going to present to Dr. Clark, but let's do our homework first. Our show is brought to you by Flashback Academy. Find out more about Flashback Academy by writing us at flashbksllc@gmail.com and find out why it's so important that we help our former foster care youth and our veterans get off of the street. Learn a new trade or a skill that will help catapult you into a successful life for yourself. Unless you're comfortable where you're at. Now, I mean, you know, you just never know where folks' comfort zones are at. But for those folks that are on the street, that is not always the best move for any individual. And we can do better, America. We'll touch bases on that later. Let's go ahead and welcome Dr. Demetria Clark. Good morning, Dr. Clark.
Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday somewhere across the nation. It may even be Sunday. At any rate, whatever day it may be, whatever time it may be, we are excited to be here with you today to continue the conversation, to give you the opportunity to ask me questions and allow me the opportunity to pray from strength above and the knowledge to be able to give you some support in answering your questions. So, Dr. Brown, let's see what's out there for us today.
All right, well, fasten your seatbelt, but one of the things that I've always noticed with Dr. Clark, she is a warrior to help save and support other folks, so I know she don't have to worry about being ready because she's already on the scene, ready to go, and here goes our first question. This lady says, my friends are tired of me complaining. What should I do?
All right. So your friends are tired of you complaining. The hard, fast answer would be stop complaining. But let's look at that a little further. Why do they feel as if you are complaining? How are you communicating to your friends? And what is it that you're communicating? Are you getting an echo, Mr. Brown?
No, not on my end.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of echo on my end, but long as you can hear me. So
yes.
Sometimes when we, and it's kind of funny that this came up because we were talking about communication in one of our groups yesterday. And so sometimes, depending on how we are making our delivery, our intention may not be complaining, but that may be how it's being perceived on the other end. So what I'm going to offer is, before entering into a dialogue or a communication experience, go in with a plan. Go in with an agenda. Go in with an intention. Go in with an end goal. If it's simply to be heard and to vent, share that. I just need to vent. And if they're in a space to where they can't receive it, know which friends can give you the space for you to do that. Because we can't expect everyone to be everything that we need. So our support system is critical. Everyone needs a specific role. There is a friend or there is a support that'll let you just complain. But they also need to be able to give you some constructive feedback to help you through whatever it is that you're complaining about so that you can get some solution and some resolve from that.
Okay. Our next question is, what is the difference between grief and mourning?
Oh, perfect question. I love it. So the difference between grief and mourning, two things. Grief are those inward emotions and those thoughts and those feelings that we have surrounding the loss, right? So that's those stages that we talk about. That's those feelings of denial, that being numb, the being upset, the not knowing what to do. All those things are the grief, the unknowing of what comes next. The mourning is the active part of the process. So the mourning is how we choose to remember or to celebrate. That takes an active process. So that's what you're seeing when people choose to celebrate the loss by way of having memorial services, funeral services. Some people plant trees. They plant, you know, they make little plants. They do things around anniversary time. They create traditions around the loss. That's the mourning part, right? That mourning is an active process that you participate in. And grieving is taking those emotions. So you take the emotions from the grief, all those things on the inside, and now you're doing something with them actively. That's the mourning part. So it's more kind of like inactive and active, out inside and outside. That's the difference between the two.
Okay, wow. Our next question is, I don't want my kids to see me cry. What do I do?
Let's think about why we don't want our kids to see us cry, and is that really unrealistic? Because our kids, it's natural for us to cry. It's a human emotion. And if we don't allow our children to see us express our emotions, how will they learn how to express their emotions? We can't make expectations, or we should not make expectations of our children that we cannot meet ourselves. And is it that you don't want your children to see you cry, or you're afraid to express crying for what it does and how it makes you feel? Because your children can probably tolerate it and will want to know, because kids have an innate ability to comfort. And so they will probably know how to comfort you right away. But why not cry with your children? That's part of healthy development. That's a bonding process. That's sharing with your children. That's part of their social emotional development. So I would allow yourself. There are moments where we're crying over things that may be a little personal or something, and we don't want our children to see that. But just in general, crying like over a loss, crying in celebration of something, all of our tears are not always tears of sadness. So crying in times of, you know, celebration, crying in times of change, there are moments where we want to express that with our children, because not all crying is done from sadness, and they need to see the difference in that. They need to know, oh, I can cry over something that's good, because crying for children is equated to hurt and pain, right? They cry when their needs aren't being met. That hurts for them. They're crying when they fall down and scrape their knee. That hurts for them. So to build their spectrum of social and emotional intelligence, helping them to see that crying has more than one purpose to it. Just like a baby has different cries for different things. There's a cry from a baby when they're hungry. There's a cry from a baby when they want to be fit, when they need a diaper change. There's a cry from a baby when they need, when they, you know, want to be bathed or want to be comforted. It's the same thing. So allow your children to see that there's a beauty. There's something that comes out of crying, and there's something that comes out of that you can share certain experiences with your children. So I would offer that you slowly allow yourself the room to share that experience with your kids.
Okay. Well, this one's a little bit tougher. Well, not for me, maybe for you, but it's pretty moving. I'll put it like that. My loved one has not died yet, but I'm already feeling like I'm grieving. What should I do?
A little vague, but my assumption is that we're anticipating that this loved one is going to be making the transition soon, maybe. And to start that grieving process is okay, because guess what? Sometimes when we feel it on the inside, our bodies are starting to prepare us. That's an indication that something's getting ready to take place. The body is already starting, the mind is already starting to put those protective factors in place. And it's okay that you have these feelings. So now start to allow yourself the preparation process if there needs to be one. Again, I don't know all the details, but this is kind of a multi-layer question that's not going to be a cookie-cutter answer. But usually we start having these feelings if we know, or if we've been given some news that you have this amount of time, or this is, you know, getting ready to happen, or if we can just see some changes occurring. And so maybe it's not so much that a physical loss is approaching, but maybe emotionally there's some loss that is occurring even in the present time that you now need to make some adjustments for. And it's okay. And don't feel guilty about it. Deal with what is right in front of you, even though you still have a physical being in front of you. For some reason, you're feeling some emotional separation and disconnect starting to happen. Allow yourself to feel those emotions, or allow yourself to find some balance and do some things that you enjoy doing while you still have that presence there, so that when that time comes, should that time come, you can now use those things that you started to create it before that transition and use those things as motivating factors to keep living with intention to honor that loss should that time come.
Next question is, we've got two more, this one and the last one, which is, when is this going to be over?
When is what going to be over? The grief?
I'm going to assume they're speaking grief. Yeah, it was just a brief statement they wrote. When is it going to be over?
So, grief is a process. It's a journey. I venture to say the grieving process can be a lifelong process. And that process does not have to be negative. that process can be a life-changing, transforming, empowering process that can catapult you into new possibilities in life. You can stop it whenever you choose to stop it, but that doesn't mean that it's still not there. So at the moment you feel that you have gained enough balance to where it's not impeding your ability to function, then maybe it's over for you. But maybe it doesn't end for someone else. And so that's all a matter of perspective. It's individual. You determine when it's over for you.
Wow. If I'm going to help someone get through grief, what questions should I avoid, or do I talk about what has happened, or just be there and let them just hold my hand? I'm kind of summarizing because this is very, very long, and that's why it took so long for me to get to that one. They just want to know, it seems to me, how can I be there for somebody but not necessarily get in their way of grief? That's what I interpreted.
Okay. I like when they say, can I just sit there and hold their hand? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Sometimes it doesn't require us to respond. That's where empathy comes in. Empathy is just simply being with someone in their time of need. What we have a tendency to do when we want to help and our intentions are very, very good and they're genuine in our efforts, we start to talk and we say the wrong thing. And that's not our intention. We're just speaking, trying to offer words of hope, trying to offer words of comfort. And sometimes that's not what they want. That's not what they need right now. Sometimes they just need to know you're there. And one of the best ways that I found helpful with assisting someone through their grieving process is let them initiate the conversation. We can ask them or tell them, I'm here. We can give them a hug. We can offer them our condolences. But then it's not for us to try to do the investigative work. Okay, what are you feeling like? Well, what happened? Well, you know, how's the family? Let them, remember, it's their journey. Their journey and their experience. They will invite you into that experience as they feel comfortable and safe doing. So for now, initially, just be. Your presence is good enough. And when they decide to invite you, then you allow them to initiate the conversation. And then you be there to have that ear and then be there to do more validating rather than offering advice.
Wow, that's some sound advice. As we know, our time moves on, and we have something that we got to let you guys in on. We got a special show coming up this Thursday at our regular time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Dr. Clark, can you shed a little light about our special guest and what our listeners can look forward to?
Yes, so we will have with us a young lady by the name of Amber Williams. And when I tell you that this young lady is a survivor and who has faced many losses throughout her life and was determined to embrace her pain and live life with intention and purpose, coming through homelessness, coming through mental health, and coming through substance abuse and alcoholism and has allowed herself to shine, she's going to share with us some of her journey and where it has taken her and where she is today and how she is living with purpose and intention and how she has put herself in position to help others along the way. So I'm excited that she will be with us. She will make her information available. She does have her own nonprofit, and she is currently working on her marriage family therapist license because she has realized that she has a gift and that her journey can be used to help her be of service to others. So I'm excited for what Ms. Amber will have to say to us next week.
And a good reason, too. And Dr. Clark has only brushed the surface, and we're not going to try to tell you more about her. We're going to let her do it. So fasten your seatbelt, and let's talk about a selfless act. This is one of the words that Dr. Clark used today. One of the most selfless acts that I think that we could do is reach out to one other person. Don't try to think for them. But everybody goes through something. Often we mask it. Sometimes it does show. But share this particular show with someone else, because I think you're going to find it not only enlightening, maybe even a bit liberating. So that number, 319-527-6090, share that with somebody or share the link. And get them over here to the show. It may really, really help them more than you know. I mean, how many times have you decided to reach out to somebody, whether it was you gave them a hug, a high five, or just told them, hey, you know what, you're a really cool person. I like being your friend. That goes a long way, and sometimes people don't know that. So let's consider, be selfless enough to say, you know what, I'm getting something out of this, but let me go ahead and tell a friend. Speaking of friend, our friend over in North Carolina, it's good to see that you jumped on the line today. And I know folks are listening, but he's decided to call in the line. So what I think that we'll do before we prepare to wrap this up is ask our friend in North Carolina, did he have a question for Dr. Clark?
Well, young man, I did. I sent it to you by text, but I'll go ahead and ask the question to Dr. Clark. I will soon be 79 years of age this September. How do I get past trust issues for bonded, for past broken relationships based primarily on trust issues to ever be affordable or available for a relationship long-term with a young lady?
So let me see if I can summarize this in a nutshell. How do you resolve current trust issues that have been impacting relationships so you can open yourself up to receiving a new relationship with someone?
Yes.
Okay. Great. I'm excited that you are ready to even allow that into your space. And so the fact that you have identified it and that you want it, I offer to say that it's probably not going to be as challenging as you think. Because remember, during our time together, you have been working on some things. You have been putting some pieces of the puzzle together. And so when you welcome someone into your space, be open with them and let them know, you know what, I have been working on me, and I have had some trust issues in the past, and these are the areas that trust has been a challenge for me. Just be open and be honest with that person, because guess what? They may have had some as well. And so it's laying your cards out on the table so that no one is taken by surprise down the line. Does it mean that hiccups will not happen along the way? Absolutely not. But because you have discussed some of these hiccups already, when they present themselves, you all together can say, hey, we talked about this early on. Let's put a plan together and let's get through this together. So be open about what has been your challenges. in the past, and you all decide together if, before we get into this, is this going to be something that they can handle, that you have trust, you know, that you have had trust issues in the past. So I say just be open and put all your cards out on the table beforehand.
Wow. Folks, before Dr. Clark wraps this up, I'm going to remind you of something that just came to my attention. There's a thing called culture. Culture, as we know, is a way of life. And because we broadcast this opportunity to folks across the country and around the world, we understand that there are different cultures, different ways of life, different ways of processing information, emotions, experiences, and we want to be open to that. So I am going to encourage those of you who have the ability to call in. We will be discussing the cultural difference of being able to help someone through the process of grieving and loss. I'm sure Dr. Clark will have a ball tackling this, but you folks are important to us. This is not just an American experience. This is a life experience, and God put us on this earth, all over this earth. And we think that it might not be a bad idea to take a look at the cultural differences as it addresses the issues of grieving and loss and how to get through it. Dr. Clark?
As we take a deep breath in and exhale, my buddy Dr. Wolford says that healing my grief is not in the future, it is in the here and now. As my heart opens to the pain, part of me wants to pull away and hide from the very emotions that are part of the experience. It is in this lived through experience that I am transformed, but ever changed at my very core. Until next time, give yourself room to grieve and give yourself permission to live life with intention and purpose as you go through this journey. Talk to you guys on Thursday. Have a good rest of your day. Goodbye.
And for that we have each other, and we will rise, we will rise, we will rise, oh, 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 we'll rise. Oh, rise up, rise like the day, oh, rise up, in spite of the age. Thousand times again, and we'll.